I'm from Rome. This is Taylor Marshall, and it's been an amazing weekend. We started off on Friday, and we had the excellent panel that was sponsored by Voice of the Family and LifeSite News. A lot of great speakers. Michael Matt from the United States. Michael Matt was there. Michael Voris, John Henry Weston. And we talked for 3 hours, and I hope some of y'all watched that with us. While that was going on, there was this crazy Amazon religion ceremony that happened in the Vatican Gardens. I'm going to play the video of that tonight. It's pretty late, and I got a plane back to America in the morning, so I'm going to just go through this Vatican Garden Amazon religion ceremony. And then I'll do a little bit of Q&A, question and answer. And then I'm going to sign off and go to bed and wake up and get on a plane. So if you have some questions, think about those. And I can see the questions in the live stream on the right side if you're watching on YouTube. And I'll answer some of those. So let's look at this clip from the Amazon religion ceremony that happened inside the Vatican Garden. Pope Francis was there. A lot of people were saying, well, Pope Francis didn't organize it. He didn't necessarily approve it. Look, he was there. Okay. His Vatican Garden. They were invited. He watched it. He didn't break it up. So I'm going to run the video here. Let's see if this works. Perfect. Okay. So you can see, they're coming in. They've got their rattles. They kind of give a nice bow to the Holy Father there. And this guy's wearing a traditional made in China Amazonian t-shirt. The other guys have Amazonian t-shirts on as well. And here's the tree. Now, some of us were, jokingly thinking, how do we get rid of this tree? If this does have pagan elements, and it seems that it does, this is not good. We don't want this tree growing in the Vatican Gardens. So do we pay the lawn guy to run it over with a mower? We were kind of jokingly talking about sneaking into the Vatican Gardens and grabbing it, throwing it in the Tiber River. I don't know. So this is the Holy Father. He's shoveling the dirt onto the tree. I believe this is when he's praying the Our Father, but I'm not sure. The sound's off. And then here are the people praying. I'm going to pause it here. So this in the center bottom, that's clearly a Franciscan habit. So we have a Franciscan, and then we have some native people. You'll notice here that they're in the round, they're circular, and that's because paganism believes that gods and the divine are manifested amongst us. It's immanence. And so we face one another. It's a community. We experience the divine. In all pagan religions, they experience the divine through this community. And we've seen this foisted on us in Catholic liturgies where they actually went to building churches in the round. Now, some people are going to say to you, well, there's been round churches in Catholicism. In fact, the Church of the Beatitudes in the Holy Land is in the round. The Pantheon, which used to be a pagan temple in Rome, right here down the street, it's in the round. However, in these sites, usually the altar is not placed in the middle, it's placed on the east wall, and liturgy is still oriented in one direction. So when you go to the Pantheon, the altar here in Rome at the Pantheon, it's really the Church of Our Lady of the Martyrs, it's on the middle. It's when you come in, it's straight across. Unfortunately, Pope Francis just put in one of the IKEA tables. It's not attractive at all. There was a nice high altar there, and it's still there, but now there's this floating Novus Ordo Vatican II table that's there. So you see the same idea here. And this is because everything in polytheism ultimately resorts back to pantheism. That is, everything is God. Creation is God. The earth is God. The water is divine. The trees are divine. The wind, all of these things are breathing with spirits. the spirits of the forest as the Amazonian people see him. So this is another reason why they're not having this ceremony in a church, although they have been doing that this weekend too. This important ceremony with the Pope is outside. It's outside. We were also talking this evening amongst some friends how traditionally at St. Peter's, the Mass, no matter how big the crowd was, the Mass was always said at the high altar in St. Peter's on top of the bones of Peter, on the tomb of Peter. And really since John Paul II, it's super popular to celebrate Mass outside the church, to celebrate Mass on the steps of St. Peter. It's a kind of an ugly altar on the steps. The idea is sort of, you know, being open to the world, and the outdoor Mass is seen as a sort of new and open. But in reality, it's outside the church. We Catholics should be having Mass inside churches. Inside. This goes back to Genesis, where Adam and Eve were inside a garden. It says God placed them in a garden. And so there's an enclosure to it, a sacred space. Now, the Vatican gardens, in a sense, are sacred. They're part of the Vatican City State. But they're doing this outside so they can be close to the earth. You can see they're right here, literally, on the earth. And you'll also notice it's being led by a female. A female. Let's keep watching. Now, this right here caught a lot of attention. At first, these were called two idols, and then later on, it was said that these aren't fertility goddesses, that these are representations, naked representations of Our Blessed Lady and Saint Elizabeth, and this is a mock-up of the Visitation. I'm so sure that's the case. That's what they're saying. There's also some smaller little statues down here, and there was, let's see, over here in the right, can I blow this up? No, it won't let me blow it up, but over on the right, there's a little idol or a little statue on his back, and there's sort of a phallic thing. Now, Michael Voris is saying that's actually part of the arm. It's not actually a phallus. People were really alarmed about that. When we all first saw the pictures, that's what we were being told. I don't think we fully know about that, but Michael Voris says it's an arm, and so I trust him on that. Regardless, this whole thing is sketchy. First of all, let's look at the blanket. This is not a traditional Amazonian blanket. It's been printed. I'm pretty sure they don't have fabric printers in the Amazonian forests. So this was made, you know, I don't know where it was made, in China or a factory. It looks like these statues are hand-carved. But look, if you want to represent Elizabeth and Our Lady in the Visitation, I still don't think that that's what's going on here. I think these are fertility icon idols. Walk 2 minutes outside Vatican City and you'll see shops, hundreds of shops, selling beautiful, lovely statues of Our Lady, Saint Elizabeth, all the saints. You don't need these shamanistic idols that clearly look like fertility idols. There's nothing on these images that suggests that it would be the Blessed Mother and Saint Elizabeth meeting at the joyful mystery of the Visitation. These are two pregnant ladies. They don't have clothes on. They don't have halos. Nothing signals to us that these are biblical characters. So, I mean, for example, look over in the right. There's a boat with an oar. What is that? I mean, I guess they could say, oh, that's the boat of Christ and the apostles for fishing. I don't think so. These are just pagan totems thrown together on a printed fabric blanket. Let's continue watching. Candles burning. Holding hands. This is another reason why I like the Latin Mass. You don't have to hold hands with people. Again, wearing traditional Amazonian t-shirts and lanyards. There's the new tree that was planted. Gotta get rid of that. Okay. There they are standing around the sun. And that's it. So you can watch this again over at Catholic News Service, October 4th. I would encourage you to check it out. Okay. So happy Lord's Day. Hope you all got to Mass. I went to the beautiful, glorious, solemn High Mass at Sancta Trinita here in Rome. It's run by the Fraternity of St. Peter. It was a glorious, solemn High Mass with a choir, organ, packed out. And it was just well done. Many devout people, children, young people. Looking around, I saw just lots of familiar faces from our American Catholic scene. I saw Michael Voris there. I saw Ed Penton. I saw Diane Montagna. Father Z was there. I mean, I wish I kind of had my phone set up here. I could show you all the pictures of afterwards of hanging out. All kinds of just amazing, Catholics that I think you're familiar with. And all worshiping together, lots of rosaries, lots of Latin, lots of kneeling. It was hot, but it was great. And we worship the Holy Trinity. There's a beautiful, over the altar here in Rome at Santa Trinita, it's a beautiful painting of God the Father, God the Son crucified, and he's kind of gray. He looks like he's just died. And God the Holy Ghost. And I loved being at Mass today and watching the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, and then at the consecration of the most precious body, the priest elevates the host, and it's you can see the host going up, and then it just sort of blends in with that reredos of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Just absolutely beautiful. So that was wonderful to see. So those things are very encouraging, but to watch these pagan rites. I mean, when I first saw this, my heart was broken. I was dejected. I feel better today having been to Mass and having seen so many people loving the Lord and worshiping and offering their best. But to see that happen in the presence of the successor of St. Peter, Pope Francis, sitting there, observing, participating in the rite. Some of the reports says that he received a black ring in this ceremony, a black ring. This is the successor of Peter. He wears the fisherman's ring. Why is he a fisherman? To bring fish into the boat, to be a fisher of men. What is a black ring? Why would the Pope be given a black ring? Does he wear the black ring? What is this? This is an inversion of the sacred. I'm really upset about it. I'm really dejected about it. We have to pray more. When you walk around Rome, you can't help but conclude that the Church of Rome has been eclipsed. This is in Our Lady of La Salette. It's covered in my book, Infiltration. In Our Lady of La Salette, she talks about the eclipse of the Church, the eclipse of Rome. Rome will lose the faith. The Church has been an eclipse. What's hopeful about that? The good news is that an eclipse is temporary. In an eclipse, right, you only lose light for a time in a solar eclipse. And then the sun comes back. So I think we're in a time right now where the Church has been eclipsed, as Our Lady said. And it will come back. I had dinner with Professor Roberto De Matteis, my hero. He is my hero. He is the greatest Catholic European scholar. He's fantastic. I keep telling you all the time on TNT with Timothy, y'all go read Roberto De Matteis. You must get into Roberto De Matteis. Had dinner with him and we talked about, what does this mean? Is this the apocalypse? Is this the tribulation? Is this the end? Has Rome lost the faith? And he pointed to some important insights from saints, prophets, mystics, private revelation, Professor Plinio of TFP, that there will be a time of trial, but then there will be a great time of renewal, both in the church and in the political sphere, and that this is what theologians and mystics have called the reign of Mary, or the age of the Holy Spirit. Because we know Our Lady of Fatima says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. So we can't be in the end yet because that hasn't happened. So we need to hope and we need to believe and we need to hold on and we need to continue to persevere in the traditional norms of piety as Catholics. We need to continue because we have to hope that every tribe, tongue, and nation, as we read in the book of Revelation, will come to Christ. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. That hasn't happened yet. And yet in the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, we read that every tribe, tongue, and nation, every king will do obeisance to Christ the King. So that's my hope. I'm here. It's dark in Rome. Rome is an eclipse. Rome is an eclipse. But I trust the Holy Ghost that the eclipse will end and we'll have a great moment of sunshine and of renewal. Maybe I'll live to see it. Maybe I won't. I don't think this is an eclipse of a decade or even a couple decades. It might be an eclipse of a century. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a mystic. But I think we will see some great, glorious reign of Mary in the church and in the world, in the states, in the political sphere. I really do believe that. So with all that said, I wanted to say that because having that, basically having that conversation with Professor Roberto De Mattei, being around good people of faith, Catholic faithful, at the panel that we had on Friday, and then again, Tradition, Family, and Property, TFP, had another great conference, and Professor Roberto De Mattei spoke at that one as well. And then being just around Rome with great Catholics, so many traditional Catholics, people who have been going to the Latin Mass or just found the Latin Mass, are returning to the Rosary, going back to confession, learning about the stational churches in Europe, just the old good time religion of the Roman Apostolic Catholic Church. That's what we need to get back to. And there's a whole generation of people now who are growing up in that. So I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to go over here. I'm going to look at the live stream, and I'd be happy to take some questions. So I'm going to open this up here so I can see what you guys are saying. And when I answer a question, I think I can put your question up on the screen. And so if you have a question or a comment that you'd like for me to talk about, I'd be happy to do that. Okay, the first one here is from Eduardo G. He says, where is the panel from Friday? So it was recorded. I think the replay is already up. And I think the best place to, I'm in Rome and I have spotty Wi-Fi. But I think the best place to find it is on LifeSite News. I think people have been accessing it. I know live, I think we had 5,000 people watching it live from all over, and we had about 100, I'm guessing 120, 130 present with us in the conference room at the hotel, at this hotel. So I think you can still watch the rerun. I know that John Henry Weston of LifeSite News, I think also Church Militant with Mike Boris, maybe also Remnant with Michael Matt, we were all there, are doing like a final cut that'll be released hopefully this week. So thank you, Eduardo G. Next question. Let's see, here's one from Grace. Grace, thank you, Dr. Marshall. I needed this hope today. That's right. We have hope. We have a real hope. It's not dare we hope that all men be saved. We hope that Christ will reign, that Christ isn't done with us. And remember, Our Lady and Our Lord are allowing this to happen. They could stop it right now. They're allowing it to happen for some great good. So we have to trust in that. We have to realize that Christ is the general. He's calling the shots. He's letting the devil have a little bit of time, and he's going to yank that chain. And when he yanks that chain, something very, very good is going to happen. All right, here's one from Sneakers Corner. Sneaker says, Fatima, Miracle of the Sun, October 13 is coming up. Is that relevant? Of course it's relevant. Absolutely. I don't think a miracle will happen this October 13th. But it's a reminder to us that the apparition for 2019, the way we understand this, is Our Lady of Fatima. Not Medjugorje. Fatima. Also, Rosary Coast to Coast is coming up. Everybody on, I think it's the 13th, We're all going to be praying. Is it the 7th or the 13th? I think it's the 13th. We're all going to be praying the rosary together, coast to coast in America. Praying coast to coast. All right, here's another question. Alexandra Catherine, she's asked, has a teenager, do I guide my parent to true Catholicism? Absolutely. You must, the fourth commandment is that you honor them, so you must honor them, and that is the way you will convert them, by living the fourth commandment. Be a good daughter. Love them, serve them, be patient, be kind, and be example of true piety. Here's another one. This is from La Fe de Iglesia. Dr. Marshall, what is the main reason I should consider attending the Latin Mass? This is good. We were talking about this evening before dinner. When I attend the Latin Mass, there are no distractions. The only distractions that are introduced are my own fault in my own mind and my own heart. I don't have to worry about heretical hymns. I don't have to worry about someone trying to hold my hand. I don't have to worry about lay Eucharistic ministers. I don't have to worry about altar girls. I don't have to worry about lectors reading the lessons and mispronouncing the biblical names and the biblical cities. I don't have to worry about the prayers of the faithful with social justice intercessions. I can go to, today I went to Mass for an hour and a half, and I was in the presence of God, undistracted for an hour and a half. 90 minutes I was with the Lord. Was I distracted some? Yes, that was my fault. It was beautiful. The priest did their job. They didn't say, good morning, everybody. Today's the something of ordinary time. No. They processed to the altar like men, and they performed the holy sacrifice of God the Son to God the Father in the unity of the Holy Ghost. And I was present for that, and it was awesome. Now, the Novus Ordo Mass is valid. It is the true Eucharist. But here's how I explain it. It's like if you take a 30-carat diamond ring, or a 30-carat diamond, 30-carat diamond. That diamond is the same value whether it's in an aluminum tinfoil ring setting or in a white gold beautiful setting. And jewelers can create settings of a diamond to make it take in more light, to make it sparkle more. And I believe that the Eucharist is the Eucharist. It is Jesus Christ. It is the eternal sacrifice. Whether you experience it in the Novus Ordo, in the traditional Latin Mass, or the Byzantine Rite, or in the Anglican Ordinariate, or with the Maronites, it's all the Mass. It is the Eucharist. It is Jesus Christ. That's it. However, the setting that holds that diamond in place can allow that diamond to sparkle more. You can appreciate the diamond more if it's set up correctly. And I think in the Roman Rite, the traditional Latin Mass is that proper setting. The jewelers have mastered a setting to make that diamond sparkle. If you like that, hit the like button if you like that. Like this video. The traditional Latin Mass allows you to appreciate the diamond. It's kind of like when I dance with my wife, if we're doing like a two-step, we're dancing around the floor. She and I have done it so often, and it's standard, and we know what it is, that we can dance and not worry about our feet and our posture and look into each other's eyes and face and enjoy each other. That's why we dance. But if you had someone saying, okay, now we're going to do this. Oh, right, left, left, right. Spin your partner. Do this sort of just insane intrusion into silence and intimacy, which you constantly receive in the Novus Ordo Mass. And I know someone says, oh, there's a reverent one, there's a unicorn. No, I know, I'm talking about 95% of the ones that are out there. And I've been to them all over America and Europe and the world. In order to just enter into the dance with Jesus, to be with him, and to enter into the gaze for 90 minutes, the traditional Latin Mass does that. It's a fact. It's a fact. Now, I know that someone out there has the perfect unicorn Novus Ordo that refutes everything I said. Great. But for 95% of you out there right now, that's not your Novus Ordo. So for me, find the Latin Mass, attend the Latin Mass, fall in love with Jesus there. Don't be distracted. You shouldn't have to worry about Oh, the priest is in that line, so I need to walk out of my pew this way, go around the church, go over here so I can receive communion from the priest. And then I'm going to do it on my knees with my tongue, and I'm worried about being embarrassed, and my priest is going to judge me. And you shouldn't have to worry about any of that when you're going to receive our Savior. All right, another question. Let's see. Lots of good questions here. Oh, here's one from Robert JOS. Should I correct my wife if she wears dresses above the knee? here in Rome, you have to wear dresses or shorts below the knee, and you must cover your shoulders and you must cover your breasts or your chest, upper chest and lower chest, in the churches in Rome. There's signs outside. I was in Santa Maria Maggiore just down the street here. And I would say about one third of the women in the church, if you're not dressed properly like that, they give you a blue piece of fabric to wear around your waist and/or around your top. And I would say about one third of the people, the women in the church, are wearing those blue pieces of cloth because they either are exposed up top or up bottom. Look, guys, that's just Catholic traditional modesty. If you're going to meet a king, you dress like you're going to meet a king. So we need to get back. And by the way, this goes for guys too. You know, I don't think you should wear short sleeves when you come to a basilica in Rome. And unless you're coming from work or, you know, coming from some event, ideally men and women should try to cover themselves a lot. I mean, Padre Pio wouldn't hear a confession of a woman if her calves were showing, and he wouldn't hear the confession of a man if his forearms we're showing. This is our old world, our Catholic piety, and it's good. We should be modest. We should be people who celebrate chastity and virginity and do whatever we can. So, Robert, should you correct your wife? I would just bring it up in conversation initially. I wouldn't make it a fight. Maybe bring up the fact that if you want to go into St. Peter's, there are standards of dress. In fact, if you're a priest watching, I would just say, well, we're just going to go by what the Pope has at St. Peter's in 19. Here's this picture of the sign. Cover your shoulders, cover your chest, cover your knees. And men, you should wear long sleeves, or you should, and make a coat and tie, wear your Sunday best, or whatever your culture's Sunday best is. I think that's a good rule to go by. And then another cool option, Robert, you could go with is, hey, honey, how about I take you and buy you a bunch of, if you have the money, I buy you a bunch of new clothes. And it's a struggle. I have teenage daughters. It's a struggle. I have a beautiful wife. It's a struggle. It's a constant conversation, but we need to strive for modesty. Okay, let's do another question. Thank you, Robert. Okay, here's a question from Ave Maria. How do we deal with this synod in a faithful, humble, and non-schismatic way? Well, I talked at the panel. If you watched the panel on Friday, I said, in every great controversy, for example, when Arius denied that Jesus was fully God, when he said he was a creature, all the Arians said that the Orthodox Catholics were schismatics, and all the Orthodox Catholics who followed Athanasius said the Arians were schismatics. So no matter what happens, no matter which side you're on, you will be called a schismatic. The thing is, if you're on the side of the one true Holy Catholic and Apostolic Roman Church, with the theology and the doctrine that has always been taught, you know you're not the schismatic. So I think in order to deal with the synod, which hasn't even geared up yet, but we've seen a foretaste of it with these weird pagan rites, we are to be faithful. Read the tradition, read the Bible, read the fathers. This is, we laymen should be doing this. If you're a layman, you should be reading the Bible. Read the Bible, read the fathers, read Catholic commentaries like those of Thomas Aquinas and Cornelius Alapide. Write those down. Thomas Aquinas, Cornelius Alapide. If you go on Google and search my name, Taylor Marshall, Cornelius Alapide, Lapide, you will find his commentaries in English and Latin. That's what you need to study. And be humble. and be humble. Just because you have the true Catholic faith, just because you're a trad, just because you go to the Latin Mass, whatever, if you're prideful, God will resist you. God resists the prideful, even when they're trans, even when they're conservative, even when they're biblical. God resists the proud. So we, even if we have the true faith, we can still go to hell because we have not charity. So we must have the true faith, the true hope, and the true charity towards God and our neighbor. That's the only way we'll make it to heaven. I'm going to do a little bit more because I got to pack my bag and get ready for bed. Let's see. Oh, they're moving fast now. Okay, here's a this is from Zarina. Zarina says, "Hello, Dr. Marshall. I'm a 16-year-old girl and I want to go to parties, but the lyrics and the music at the parties are mostly vulgar. Should I go to the parties or is it a sin to go?" I would say a sweet 16-year-old like you, don't go. Get your friends together and have fun and do things as groups and do things that are wholesome. It doesn't mean that you on Friday and Saturday night your group has to go and kneel before the Blessed Sacrament for 3 hours each night. That's not what I'm saying. But y'all can go have fun and be teenagers in groups and do good things and wholesome things. My worry about these parties is not just the lyrics that you mentioned and the music that's played, but the vulgar things that will also happen as you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, the exposure to drugs, the exposure to sex, nudity, bad men, bad boys. You don't need to be around that. So take it from a dad. Go have fun, but have fun in a good, wholesome Catholic way. Thanks, Serena. All right, we'll do two more. Okay. Here we go. This is a good question. I answered it on Friday. I'll do it again. So Word Bearer says, "Dr. Taylor, if the validity of the Mass is all that matters, why is it a sin to attend illicit Mass such as Eastern Orthodox and Sedevic Contest?" Word Bearer, that's not correct. It is not correct that all that matters is the validity of the Mass. At the panel, I talked about a quote from St. Thomas Aquinas. It's in the third part of the Summa. And he talks about how we need to shun evil priests. And by doing so, we don't shun the sacraments, but we honor the sacraments. And Thomas says, these are valid Masses. They are the real Mass. It is the real Eucharist. But there are, and it's not Donatism. Thomas isn't saying they're not valid. Donatism says that evil priests don't have true sacraments. Thomas is saying evil priests do have true sacraments. I'm pulling up the quote right now. Evil priests do have true sacraments, but we don't attend their Masses, even though they are valid. So let's say after the synod, or next year, or 2 years, they say, okay, here are ordained deaconesses, women in holy orders, and they're at your local parish. If the priest is a true priest and he celebrates Mass, it's a valid holy sacrifice, the Mass. It's a valid Eucharist. But if there's the heterodox presence of a woman minister on the altar, you can't go to it. Is it a valid Mass? Yes. You can't go to it. Here's the quote from Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologiae, Part 3, Question 82, Article 9, Reply to Objection 1. Thomas Aquinas says, quote, "By refusing to hear the Masses of such priests or to receive communion from them, we are not shunning God's sacraments. On the contrary, by doing so, we are giving them honor. Hence, a host consecrated by such priests is to be adored." So if there is a bad, sinful priest and he consecrated, we would worship that host. "And if it is to be reserved, it can be consumed by a lawful priest. But what we shun is the sin of unworthy ministers." End quote, St. Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologiae. So, just because the Eastern Orthodox have a valid Mass, a valid Eucharist in the Divine Liturgy, which they do, by the way, they do, we do not attend and receive Eucharist from them. Because they're schismatics. They're in schism with Rome, with the Catholic Church. So they also have problematic problematic doctrines on purgatory, the filioque, some Marian things, original sin. So we do not, even though it's a valid Eucharist, we do not receive from heretics, even if they have a valid Eucharist, or from schismatics. All right, I'm going to do one more question before we head out here. So if you have a question, put it up. We're moving kind of quickly here. Here we go. This is from Maria Elizabeth. Can an unbaptized person baptize someone? And the answer is yes, as long as they're doing what the church intends. Let me give an example of what would be a valid baptism. I'm going to make up a real crazy scenario, but it'll get the point across. So there's a, let's say there's a Hindu woman and a Catholic woman lost in a forest. And the Catholic woman is 9 months pregnant. She trips, her water breaks, she starts having the baby. The Hindu woman helps deliver the baby, but the mother, the Catholic mother herself, is not doing well. Maybe she's having problems and complications. And it's clear that the baby may not make it either. The Catholic mother can tell the Hindu woman, grab your water bottle with water in it and gently pour on the forehead and scalp of my child and say, I baptize, and give it a name, say Adam. Adam, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if the Hindu woman does it, in the intention of what the Catholic Church does and says the right words, the child is regenerated, justified, born again, filled with the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, incorporated into Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of the Catholic Church. Now in the church, the ordinary minister of baptism is the priest. The extraordinary minister is the deacon, and then in extreme cases, lay people can do it. And the old manuals say, ideally, first a man should do it, and then a lay man, and then a lay woman, and then a child. And of course, in that hierarchy, it should be a Catholic. If there's a Hindu and a Catholic there, let the Catholic do it. So yes, those baptisms are valid. And if there was any doubt about it, and the child survived, and there was, you know, I can't remember if she did it right or if she poured the water three or whatever, there's questions, the priest would then do a baptism subconditione, conditional baptism, saying at the baptism to the child, if the child's named Adam, if you are not baptized, Adam, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then would also supply the traditional rite. All right, y'all. Well, thanks for joining me this evening. I appreciate everyone who joined us. Oh, wow. There's 1,500 people here. That's amazing. Thank you. I'm sorry that I'm tired. I probably look a little tired. I've been jet lagged for, 5 days now, and I'm just now adjusting to the time zone, and then tomorrow at 8 a.m., I fly back to America to get re-jet lagged in America. Oh, well, thanks, everybody, for watching. Please pray the rosary. I'm going to ask everybody for the month of October, of course, pray the rosary every day. There's no excuse not to pray the rosary, but pray the rosary for the Pope and for the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome is in eclipse. Pray for the Pope. Pray for the Church of Rome. Pray for a great renewal. Please like this video. Please subscribe to the channel. Please support on Patreon. And I'll close in prayer. I'm on a different computer here in Rome, so I don't have my green sheet that I normally put up that has the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. But I will close with you praying the Hail Mary and the Glory Be in Latin. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. St. Peter, pray for us. St. Linus, pray for us. St. Anacletus, pray for us. St. Clement, pray for us. St. Pius V, pray for us, St. Pius X. Pray for us, all you holy, sainted popes. Pray for us in our hour of need. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, from Rome, Godspeed, God bless, and we'll see you again early this week when I'm back in the good state of Texas. Till then, adios.